But if you'll go ahead and be turning to John chapter 1, we're going to be there in just a few moments for our first passage. But as we think about Jesus as being the master teacher, John chapter 13, verses 13 through 15, which Brother Jim read for us just a few moments ago, is that discussion of Jesus when he washed the disciples' feet. And there in the context, verse number 13, it tells that Jesus told them, "You call me teacher and Lord," and they were right for doing so, and he commended them for doing so. As we think about Jesus, our Lord and our teacher, as being the master teacher, there's a couple of things we ought to learn from him. If we could follow his example in how to teach, then we could be more effective communicators of God's word to this and to future generations. When one considers Jesus' teaching style, he or she will recognize that Jesus often used objects that his student or students could relate to. Sometimes a crowd of one, sometimes a crowd of 5,000 or more. He spoke to audiences of several different backgrounds, that of fishermen and shepherds and farmers, among many others. But to deliver the message of truth, Jesus used objects. Objects such as boats, fish, sheep, seeds, and grains, among many other objects. So let's take a closer look at Jesus' example of teaching so that we can, John 13, verse 15, follow that example. First of all, we see that Jesus used fish in his teachings. When calling his apostles, Jesus displayed leadership. And I want you to think about the innovative way in which he called them. He called fishermen to become fishers of men. John chapter 1, we begin reading in verse number 16. "For of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. And for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews went to his priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask of him, 'Who are you?' And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' But they asked, 'What then? Are you Elijah? Or as they said, 'I am not.' Are you the prophet?' And he answered, 'No.'" Jesus was one who was not John or the Elijah, but they were looking for Jesus, the master teacher, the one who would go on from John chapter 1, verses 16 through 20, to teach multitudes. He was prophesied of, but he was the real. And so as he called the disciples, he called them to become what he was, not a prophet, but the teacher, the one who would guide and lead others. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 32 through 38, we find the teaching of the feeding of the 5,000, rather the feeding of the 4,000. I'm getting a chapter behind and a chapter ahead at the same time. Matthew chapter 15, verses 32 to 38, Jesus illustrated his compassion for the people who were following him. Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 32, "And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, 'I feel compassion for the people, because they have remained with me now 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way.' The disciples said to him, 'Where would we get so many loaves in this desert place to satisfy a large crowd?' And Jesus said to them, 'How is it?'" I can get the pages turning. "'How many loaves do you have?' And they said, 7 and a few small fish. And he directed the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and giving thanks, he broke them, and he started giving them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the people, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up what was left over of the baskets and the broken pieces, 7 large basketfuls. And those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And sending away the crowds, Jesus got into a boat and came to the region of Magadan. Have you ever considered in sitting around the supper table, discussing with your family Jesus' compassion? At first, it might not seem to be the proper place. It may seem out of place to sit around the table eating and think about Jesus' compassion. But on second thought, it would be quite fitting. Let me tell you about the time that Jesus showed His compassion and taught people how to have compassion with just 7 loaves of bread and a few little fish. Similar things are discussed and used in speaking of the feeding of the 5,000 one chapter earlier in Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. But Jesus used fish in teaching the multitudes, the 4,000 on one occasion, 5,000 on another occasion. Jesus used bread to teach valuable lessons to the hungry. Reflect with me on Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verses 5 through 12. We look back at verses 1 through 4 for the context of what follows in verses 5 through 12. Matthew chapter 16, the Pharisees and the Sadducees came up, and they were testing Jesus. They asked Him to show them a sign from heaven. But He replied to them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the time? An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it except the sign of Jonah." And He left them and went away. Then verses 5 through 12. And the disciples came to the other side of the sea, but they had forgotten to bring bread. The disciples had crossed over the sea, and when they arrive at the other side, it is noted that they had forgotten to bring bread with them. So verse 6, Jesus said to them, "Watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." This confused them a bit. But as they discussed among themselves why Jesus would make such a statement, they concluded that He said it because, verse 7, "We did not bring any bread." Jesus, knowing this, responded to them, verses 8 through 11, "You men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets full you picked up?" That was 12 basketfuls. "Or do you not remember the 7 loaves and the 4,000 and how many large baskets that you picked up?" 7 large baskets on that case. "How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" Dictionary.com defines leaven as a substance such as yeast or baking powder that causes the fermentation and the expansion of dough or batter. Fermented dough reserved for producing the fermentation of a new batch of dough, or an element that produces an altering and transforming influence. Then it all made sense, verse 12. When Jesus pointed out in verses 8 through 11 what He was really talking about, then the light bulb goes off for the disciples and it makes sense to them. Jesus was not speaking about the leaven of the object of bread, which their mind was on, but rather He used the object of leaven, which was in the bread, which was on their mind, to teach them about the gradual altering and transforming influence of the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Falling in line with what we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, and Galatians chapter 5, verse 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Jesus also used bread in John chapter 6, verses 22 through 40, as He talked with the disciples about bread from heaven. In John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, we find that reading of the feeding of the 5,000, John's account of it. But look at verse number 14 as he concludes those thoughts. John chapter 6, verse 14. Therefore, when the people saw the sign of the feeding of the 5,000, which he had performed, they said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Following this sign and their understanding of it, Jesus goes up onto a mountain. While he is there with the disciples, they leave in a boat. The disciples leave in a boat. Later on, Jesus comes to them while walking on the water. And the next day, when he is at the other side, some of the group of 5,000 who were present at the feeding of the 5,000 came looking for Jesus. Look at verse 22 as we read. The next day, the crowd that stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other small boat there except one, and that Jesus had not entered with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples had gone away alone. There came other small boats from Tiberias near to the place where they ate and the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the small boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus had to clear up a few things for them. And so he told them, "A sign, the feeding of the 5,000, which included you, was meant to cause belief in me. But you did not come here because you believed. You came here seeking me because I filled you physically. I filled you with bread, which you wanted. And now you're in need of more." Jesus used that physical bread to fulfill the physical need, but he also used the physical bread to teach them about the spiritual bread. We pick up in verse 27, "Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him the Father God has set his seal." Therefore they said to him, "What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Jesus wanted them to believe him. And in their believing him and accepting him, he was teaching them further. So verse 30, so they say to him, "What then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna," or the bread, "that was given to them in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven." Jesus informed them that it was his Father who provided the physical bread for their earthly fathers. And then he went on to say, "By the way, my Father is the one who gives you spiritual bread as well." Then verse 33, "For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." The discussion about bread is not really about physical bread. It's about spiritual bread. It's really about Jesus, who was sent by the Father from heaven to give life to the world. They had seen Jesus. They had heard him. They had seen the signs which he was showing. But they did not believe. Though all these things were designed to cause them to believe, they still did not get it. But Jesus used bread to teach the hungry about spiritual things. Boats and water were objects used in Jesus' teachings. The power and the deity of Jesus was taught to the disciples on the occasion in which Jesus came to them walking on the water. If you're in Matthew, it's chapter 14. If you're in Mark, it's chapter 6. If you're in Luke, it's in John, it's also chapter 6. All of them have the disciples in a boat about 3 a.m. and the wind is tossing them to and fro and throwing water over into the boat. And Jesus walks to them on the water. Matthew's account, Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 22 and going through verse 33, Matthew goes on to tell us that Peter wanted to walk on the water as well. Jesus invites Peter to do so. Peter gets out of the boat. He starts walking on the water. Then he sees the wind, and when he sees the wind, he begins to sink because he's taking his focus off of Jesus. And as he is sinking, he calls out to Jesus, "Lord, save me," verse 30. It's only in Matthew that it is revealed that when Peter and Jesus got into the boat, those who were in the boat worshiped Jesus, saying, "You are certainly God's Son." Matthew 14, verse 33. In Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, we find another passage of Scripture discussing Jesus and His use of boats and water to teach spiritual lessons. And this passage, Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, when we finish it, it leaves us scratching our head just a bit. Jesus is found to be in a boat with His disciples, and while He's there, other little boats were with Him, the text says, verse 36. And on the sea, a windstorm comes up, and it's blowing water over into the boat. When we read in Mark chapter 4, verse 38, Jesus Himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, do You not care that we are perishing?" And He got up and rebuked the wind and the sea and said, "Peace, be still." And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" In verse number 38, you look back at it, it sounds like they believe Jesus, that they trust Him to keep them safe, that they somewhat understand who He is and what He is about and the power that He has. But then comes verse 41. Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey Him? They seem to understand, but then they don't understand. It leaves us scratching our noggin a bit. But Jesus used the boat and the water on that occasion to teach the disciples. Jesus used sheep to teach shepherds. When Jesus found some people that were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd, He had compassion on them. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." When Jesus came to people who often found themselves as sheep having no shepherd, He taught them, Mark chapter 6 and verse 34. In Matthew 18, verses 12 and 13, it records this question, "What do you think? If any man has 100 sheep, and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that is astray? If it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than the 99 which have not gone astray." And so it set up perfectly what Jesus discussed in John chapter 10. Almost the entire chapter is devoted to showing Jesus as the true shepherd of the sheep, and His followers are His sheep. Jesus illustrated how His followers would be offended at His arrest, and they would be scattered like sheep. Mark chapter 14, verse 27, you will all stumble because of what it is written, "I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." Jesus taught the apostles, specifically Peter, to feed and to teach His sheep. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." The apostles were to teach Jesus' sheep. They were the ones to help them prepare for the judgment day. Jesus used sheep to tell them about preparation for the judgment. And just how was it that Jesus described that great judgment scene? In Matthew chapter 25, verse 32, accounts, "All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats." Jesus used sheep to teach shepherds and teach shepherding. When speaking to farmers, Jesus used seeds, grain, and soils to teach. The parable of the soils readily comes to mind, Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8. And Jesus gives the parable, and then he follows that with the teaching of a side note about the purpose of parables. Then he comes back in Mark chapter 4, verse 13 through 20, and explains the parable to them. Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 13. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all of the parables? The sower sows the seed, which is the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, they immediately have Satan that comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom the seed is sown on the rocky places, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction and persecution arises, because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom the seed is sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter into and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom the seed is sown in good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Describing the kingdom of heaven, Jesus taught using the objects of wheat and tares. Speaking by another parable, Jesus tells them the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. And when the crop came up, there were tares in it. And the servants, when they found the tares, go and they question the owner of the field, "Did you not plant good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" His explanation for the tares is that the enemy has come and planted them among the wheat. Being unable to remove the tares without pulling up the wheat also, the owner has the servants to leave the crop alone until the harvest comes. The message teaches that until Jesus Christ returns, genuine believers and counterfeits will both be allowed to remain together. The fruit that is produced, however, will make it clear what is tares and what is wheat. A mustard seed was used by Jesus to illustrate two heavenly truths. The mustard seed was used by Jesus in his teaching about the kingdom of heaven, Mark chapter 4, verses 30 to 32. And he said, "How shall we picture the kingdom of God, or by what parable shall we present it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown up in the soil, though it is small, all of the seed that are upon the soil. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches so that the birds of the air can come and nest under its shade." A mustard seed was also used on two occasions by Jesus to tell about faith and its ability. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus had to heal a boy casting out a demon because the disciples themselves could not do it. They asked Jesus, why could we not drive it out, verse 19 of Matthew 17. And he responded, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. The disciples failed to appropriate their faith through prayer. The ability was there, but they did not use their faith in God. Therefore, they could not heal the boy. One final passage, Luke chapter 17, in verse number 6. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. I love the reason why Jesus made that statement. It's found in the previous verse, Luke 17, verse 5. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. When we want our faith to be increased, the Lord will provide. And it may come in the teachings of Jesus and His use of objects. Faith in God that is properly applied can do anything. And so Jesus, the master teacher, chose to teach about faith using an object. An object they understood quite well, the mustard seed. But as you can see this morning, Jesus recognized His audience. He recognized their familiarity with the things which they used in everyday life. And we ought to look at Jesus' ways of teaching and apply those ways to our teaching others today. And if we happen to pay close enough attention, we will probably find out that we too will learn more about Jesus when we consider closely the objects which He used. Through the use of objects, Jesus taught. He taught His compassion. He taught leadership. He taught power. He taught about His deity. He told about the church, and He showed what it is to be the true bread of life, which leads to heaven. He taught sheep, and He taught how to be a shepherd using sheep. And He taught us how to follow the good shepherd, which indeed is He. He taught us faith, and He taught us how to use it. One specific thing that we need to consider as way of invitation is Jesus' use of leaven in teaching. He taught the disciples to beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, as we've already looked at. False teachings are gradually altering and transforming influences that affect our understanding and our obedience. Sin and evil are also gradual altering and transforming influences in our life. The least bit of sin can ruin a person when it's left unaddressed. Christ, however, can forgive that sin, and He can remove that sin far from us. Thus, He taught about faith. He taught about obedience. And so thus, we must believe. Believe the beautiful message of the gospel, John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. We must repent of our sins, Acts 3 and verse 19. Confess Christ as the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And be baptized, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. As a Christian, we are to live a life faithful to God, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22. If you have not yet become a Christian, today's the day to do that. Follow the teaching of the master teacher. Be obedient to Him today. If you are a Christian, then maintain your faithfulness to the Lord. And if you need to seek forgiveness, seek that forgiveness from God so that you can be in a right relationship with God, having your heart right with Him. Acts 8, verse 22. This morning, the master teacher has used objects to teach lessons to others and to teach us. Maybe it's within one of these objects that you have learned what you need to do this morning. If that be the case, we're here, we're ready to help you and assist you as best we can, if you will come as we stand and as we sing.